National Family Caregiver Month recognizes Americans who care for loved ones. It's sponsored by the National Family Caregivers Association. Joining us this half hour, Frank Esposito, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Expert Home Care in New Jersey and a member of the National Private Duty Association. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Thank you, Al.
A little bit about your organization, first of all, Expert Home Care.
Al, I represent Expert Home Care. We're an agency located in central New Jersey. We provide home health care services for mostly the New Jersey area. We happen to specialize in providing 24-hour live-in care with certified home health aides.
It has been estimated about 50 million Americans are taking care of loved ones at home for various reasons, seniors, people with disabilities, children with illnesses, and so forth.
That's true.
It is a tough job. Many people do it out of love. Sometimes they feel that they just cannot give up on a loved one. But they do need help, don't they?
Yes, they do. And my agency, as well as many other agencies across the country, are there for families. They need to understand that there's a lot of services available to them. Families need to recognize that they have to seek out help from other agencies because they can't do it alone. Caregiving is a very stressful job.
It's very stressful, but again, because people are taking care of loved ones, it can be a very difficult situation to admit that they can't do it themselves. This is almost an obligation, something they should do.
Very, very true, Al. I mean, there are over 50 million caregivers in the United States, and with NPDA, which is the National Private Duty Association that I'm a part of, and one of the sponsors of National Family Caregiver Month, this year's theme for National Caregiving Month is entitled Caring Every Day. And basically what it does, Al, is it encourages family caregivers to take three steps every day to make their lives easier, to improve care, and to raise awareness. And these three steps include believing in yourself, protecting your own health, and reaching out for help. Interestingly, the services provided by family caregivers represent about 80% of all home care services in the country and are valued at about $257 billion per year, more than two times the amount spent on home care and nursing home services combined. Family caregiving is truly the bedrock upon which this nation's healthcare system depends. And family caregiving has many, many faces. As you described earlier, it could be what is typically seen, an adult child taking care of an elderly relative, but it can certainly be a parent taking care of a child. It can be a husband taking care of a wife. It could be a sister taking care of another sister. It could be the old taking care of the older. It really does have many faces.
And, of course, assuming the full burden of taking care of a loved one can really have an impact on the caregiver's health,
Absolutely.
The emotional impact of doing so.
There are a lot of stresses involved in taking care of one, and many types of stresses can really impact upon the individual, such as emotional stress, physical stress, psychological stress. It's really important that families reach out for help, which is that third item I described in the entitled Caring Every Day campaign. And again, agencies are there for people. People need to seek out respite, which is substitution care, short-term help. Families need to recognize when they're under stress and take advantage of agencies like mine and many others.
Is this something that most families should talk about right from the start and not wait for a crisis situation?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of families don't plan ahead, and this type of thing always seems to happen unexpectedly, and it does become a crisis, and then they're scurrying to find services and figure out what to do. So it is advisable that families do try to sit down and plan, especially with the situation of elderly parents. Obviously, it's imminent that people are going to age and likely to start to have some debilitation and illness. It's good to seek out information beforehand, to call a local agency, to gather some information. Families today have many, many options, and one of the options here that I'm sort of representing is the idea of home care. People should look to their Yellow Pages, can look to various resources, one of which, again, is the National Private Duty Association. And this is made up of members all across the country, and they're located in all the states, and people can turn to NPDA for information and as a resource.
When someone calls your company, Expert Home Care, what should they expect? Do they have a lot of questions first? They're very unsure about the next step they should take.
Yes,
Are they really tentative? Are they saying, I'm not really sure I should be doing this?
Well, there's a lot of emotions that go through one's mind when there's a sudden situation of having to care for a loved one. Yes, there are a lot of questions that should be raised. The issue amongst many agencies is that some of them do not operate above the board. There are many agencies that are known as registries, and what these registries basically do is recruit individuals and title them as independent contractors and send them out into the field, and families usually have to assume the responsibility of payroll and employment taxes and insurances and whatnot. If the family were to use an agency that was a private duty agency, that was licensed, that had people that they employed directly, because it really comes down to a question of who is the employer of the individual working in somebody's home. There are several questions, if I may announce some of them to your audience. These are things that will hopefully some of your listening audience can write down, and if they are ever in a situation of having to find or seek out care, they can ask some of these questions, such as, who is the employer? Who is, and how long has the agency been providing private duty home care? Is there a care professional who, along with the client and family, develops an individualized plan of care? How are emergencies handled after normal business hours? Does the agency employ a full-time nurse or social worker or other qualified professional to make regular visits? How does the agency screen and select caregivers prior to an assignment? And are their references checked and are criminal background checks done? These are all some of the important questions that need to be answered.
And some of those questions can be very obvious that people may ask. In other words, background checks. Who is this person actually coming into my home? Some are not so obvious, as you mentioned before. Who's going to be paying? Who's paying the taxes? What about insurance if someone gets hurt? A lot of different issues that people, especially in a crisis situation, may not be thinking about.
Usually under crisis, people react and don't think clearly. And there are a lot of agencies out there that don't necessarily disclose all of these things up front. And people are usually in a vulnerable situation in having to seek out care for a loved one and can often just, you know, fall into a trap. There's a lot of states across the nation that home care is unregulated, and it opens up the door for people to be abused, financially. And again, I come back to the National Private Duty Association because since its founding, it's basically with a mission of educating the consumer so that they can make informed decisions. And this is very helpful when people are in the position of having to seek out care.
It also helps public relations-wise. You tend to hear about the bad stories no matter where they are occurring. There are a lot of good stories as well.
Sure.
When you hear the bad stories.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's to repeat, its main focus is to educate consumers about the many pitfalls involved in using home care services, also to influence legislation that will inform and protect consumers, and to enhance the strength and professionalism of the providers of such services. And lastly, it really, really strives to improve the public image of home care agencies.
Tell me right from the beginning, how does it work when someone calls, in your case, Expert Home Care? They have questions, obviously.
Sure.
Where does it go from there?
When someone contacts the office, basically we need to gather as much information as possible from them. So we try to discern from the very beginning what their situation is. Who is it that needs the care? Where do they live? What is their diagnosis? What are their medical problems? And we basically go through an intake over the telephone with the individual, asking all these types of questions about condition and diagnosis and such. This helps us to discern whether or not the person is appropriate for our type of service or home care services in general. It's also the chance for us to disseminate a lot of our information that we're a licensed agency, that we're bonded, our people are insured, that we're the direct employer of these individuals. And families will have a whole bunch of questions about the caregivers and who they are and where they come from and specific questions to that degree. This is really the opportunity for us to exchange all of this information back and forth. This type of phone call can last 15 minutes or could last an hour and 15 minutes. We're really committed to finding out as much information as possible and sharing with the family, really, really listening. That's the most important thing. We can hear it in the sound of their voice in some situations, how stressed they are, how exasperated they are. So we really try to lead them by the hand and letting them know that we're here to try to help them with a home care service.
It may be a situation where they are so overwhelmed they perhaps may not need as much home care as they think they do. It may be just partial help.
True. I mean, every situation.
There are companion homemakers, which may fill the bill.
Right. Every situation is different. There are many types of workers through agencies out there. There are certified home health aides, which is primarily the kind of service that we provide. These individuals are going to be able to go into a home and assist the client with daily living activities, the types of things that we all do as healthy, independent people every day, but as someone gets older or if someone's sick or disabled, have very much difficulty with and need help. And these caregivers can go in and provide the personal care and attention. But some clients may be not acutely ill, but need just some supervision, and what might be appropriate there is what is typically called in the business a companion or a homemaker, somebody who doesn't go in and provide hands-on care, but goes in and provides more of chore-type services. Maybe they need help with cooking or certainly with cleaning, with laundry, and someone to be there just as a monitor for safety and to supervise and more for companionship.
And to help someone remain independent.
And absolutely, to age in place.
Other choice. What is the other choice? Being institutionalized, perhaps.
Yes, that is another choice.
Not necessarily the best case for everyone.
Exactly.
Emotionally, staying home. Familiar surroundings, places where people have grown up. It is so important, especially for medical care. It's shown that it makes people get better.
Yes, there have certainly been many studies done that prove that individuals who can remain at home will recover faster, will feel better mentally and emotionally. There is more opportunity for family to visit and support the situation as opposed to them being institutionalized.
You talked before about the initial contact. The phone call could last an hour or so. It could be personal contact. How important is it for that initial contact to include the person who is going to be cared for?
Well, it would be important if they were included, but it's not in every situation is it viable. Many of the patients that we see at Expert Home Care are more acutely ill, usually suffering from more severe physical ailments and many from mental incapacities and deterioration. So it's not often that they can come to the phone. It's typical that the caregivers, the family caregivers, are the adult children or other relatives. So those are the individuals who we mostly have contact with. But it's not uncommon, and we've certainly had and have seen patients themselves calling on the telephone who are of sound mind and who have a lot of independence in their lives, but maybe are recovering from a surgery or are going in for a surgery. Maybe they're calling for their spouse But usually we don't see much of the end user on the telephone. It's usually their children who are the family caregivers.
Well, whenever possible, it is advisable because this is the person who lives there.
Right.
And now all of a sudden a stranger is coming in.
Exactly.
Because making that person understand is really not a stranger.
They have to be totally acceptive of this fact. I mean, really, in the end, they're the one that's making the decision.
What if there are very special needs, Alzheimer's, dementia, or specialized people?
There are caregivers that do have a special orientation towards some of the mental diseases like an Alzheimer's, basic senility that sets in. Some caregivers are very sensitive to this. They have experience in doing this. So certainly we, as any other agency, should try to send in individuals who are more mature, who have some experience in dealing with that, because it takes a special individual to deal with somebody who, say, has an Alzheimer's disease. You really have to have a lot of patience and a lot of compassion.
What about backup support? Are loved ones able to call your agency? Is there a liaison there?
Yes. Most agencies should be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's a part of the home care industry. I always say it knows no holiday. You really have to be available after hours because things can happen. So at our agency, it's not something that's unique. You will see that and look for that at most agencies. That's something that you should be looking for.
But again, as we started off the program, a lot of people may be afraid to give up that role as caregiver. Now here is a professional helping out, but you have a lot of questions. Is this the right thing?
Well, you have
second
to,
thoughts. Why is this happening? You know.
Right. Well, you have to recognize, again, this goes back to the theme of this, which is caring every day. You have to believe in yourself in that you are doing the best that you can, given the tools that you have, given the time that you have. Many family caregivers are people that are still working. Mm-hmm. Could be working full-time or part-time. Many caregivers just so happen to be women. They seem to be the predominant sex that happens to wind up being the caregivers here. I know that it's about 50 or 60% of the caregivers are, well, I have to say higher than that, about 70% are females. I think that happens to be because they raise children, they're more in a nurturing role. But many of these women, which are called the sandwich generation, this means that they're juggling a career, perhaps still raising their own children, and now being charged with the responsibility of caring for a loved one. So that makes it very difficult for them, and they have to recognize that they can't do it all. Sometimes it happens, Al, by trial and error, that there is a lot of apprehension in having somebody come into the home on whether it be a live-in basis or an hourly basis, but the family has to do it because they don't really have any choice. Mom or dad have to accept it sometimes, whether they like it or not, unfortunately. And I've seen some great things happen with caregivers. I've seen many families be very hesitant and apprehensive about it, but after the caregiver comes in and a relationship is formed, a nice bond is created, and the caregiver can become a part of the family. It's really nice to see that happen.
It can actually keep marriages together, can it?
Absolutely,
keep
it can.
Keep careers on track.
It can. There's a lot of other information out there about lost productivity, people who are working full-time jobs, but all of a sudden a relative becomes ill, and the time that it takes them away from work, and the lost productivity costing this country billions of dollars due to that. I think years ago the issue was child care. Now, of course, the issue is going to be more of elder care because as a society, the demographics are pretty incredible as to where we're going with an aging society.
More child care and elder care together.
Together, obviously.
The impact on
yes,
the family.
Yes.
Talk about the people who work for you. Who are they? The training? What do they get out of it?
Well, we have mostly women, again, tend to fall into this type of work, but there are some men doing it. These are people, at least in our area, in the metropolitan area, there are a lot of women doing this who, for the most part, come from abroad, but they come into this country with a philosophy of work and dedication and commitment. these are women that can be anywhere from their early 20s up to 50, 60 years old, as long as they're in, you know, good health and good condition. Their references are checked through the agency. Criminal background checks are performed. They're tested. They undergo a physical for good health. They undergo a competency evaluation to assess the level of that. Some of them come to us with a lot of experience. Most of them have training, of course, beforehand. They've typically went through some type of a home health aid training course. It varies in the different states in your area. New York might have a 100-hour training course, whereas New Jersey might have an 80-hour training course, but it's all relatively the same. These are people with just a very caring, compassionate type of will and background who enjoy caring for people.
Is this a career field in this country that is enhanced the way it should be? Are enough people entering?
Well, there are a lot of caregivers in the country. I know that there's a lot of information about top jobs going into the next decade or decades, and I think you will often see home health care services or personal care services within the top five. So it is still a booming type of occupation. There, I think, is maybe going to be a shortage at times because it may be that the demand exceeds the amount of caregivers is not enough to meet the demand because of the aging population. So we'd like to see more people get into home care. But for many, it can act as a springboard to a higher level within the industry. I mean, it's not uncommon to see home health aides go to become licensed practical nurses, which then further goes to become registered nurses, which is a higher, much higher level within the industry.
We talked about the impact on caregivers trying to care for loved ones. Even though these people are professionals, they've had the training, they understand what they're doing, they're caregivers as well, and that could be a tremendous impact on them as well. Is the support there, the emotional support to avoid burnout?
Yes. Well, caregiver burnout is and can be a problem in certain situations. It's case-specific. But as an agency, you need to recognize your caregivers. You need to be aware of the level of or the demand level on certain cases. You need to provide respite to your own caregivers by sending in somebody to substitute for them. If it's a live-in case especially, there tends to be more burnout there than if someone comes and goes on an hourly basis. But what we see at our own agency is caregivers working for a week to 10 days, taking two or three days off, us putting a substitute in so they can go home, get a break, get a respite, come back, spell another 7 or 10 days. It's also important to see the families still involved. I mean, in live-in care, the live-in tends to act as a primary caregiver, sort of like the worker bee who does everything for the patient. But it's still very important, Al, to see families involved. Families shouldn't just hire a caregiver at any level, whether it be live-in or hourly, and just forget about it and know that they have somebody there. They still should be concerned about their loved one. We see many families still involved providing love and support, doing grocery shopping, taking their mom or dad out with the caregiver to a social function. Mm-hmm. So it's still very important that families are involved in the care overall.
As you said before, many of the caregivers become part of the family, in effect, and they also will feel the loss.
Yes,
I
have had some situations where I've had a caregiver on assignments for 2 or 3 years in a row, and then, of course, a patient may expire, and that's always very sad for the caregiver.
Do you point out to them that really what they have done is good because it improved their quality of life while they could?
Absolutely.
It extended their life.
Absolutely.
Better for the family.
And it's always nice to hear families be so appreciative of that. And I've had many instances where families have said, well, it was all because of Judy that Mom lived as long as she did, and she was well cared for. And we owe a debt of gratitude to Judy. And that makes Judy feel great, but it makes us feel great as an agency that we were able to help them in such a way.
How did you get involved in this?
Well, I got involved in this. It was about 17 years ago. I I have a friend who happened to be a good friend back then, who wound up getting into this business. He was working for another home health care company, and he saw to it that there was an opportunity in the business, thought that he could provide service better, do it better, at a good cost, at a fair cost, and branched out onto his own. And he did that for about 3 years and had a good success, and then brought me in. We were good friends at the time, and I was in the insurance business, and we joined forces to open up a second branch of the office, and that was 17 years ago. So I've now been in this business for a long time.
We have a few minutes left. Word for those who are struggling as caregivers, primary caregivers right now, they feel overwhelmed perhaps, they don't know where to turn. The advice to them.
Well, I'd like to give a couple of resources for family caregivers who may be in a situation. If I can give you a couple of websites for some of your listening audience. Number one would be the National Family Caregivers Association, which again is the sponsor of National Family Caregivers Month. And they have a website which is www.thefamilycaregiver.org. Or they have a phone number, which is 1-800-896-3650. Secondly, we mentioned the National Private Duty Association, which is the national voice for private duty home care agencies across the country. And they also have a website, which is very informative, and people can go to that site and they can hone in on their particular state or region and see various agencies, and all kinds of consumer education is on there, and questions, things to look out for. And their website is www.privateduty.homecare.org. And they have a phone number, which is area code 317-844-7105. And also, just more locally, people can always turn to their area office on aging, which is something that is easily found in the Yellow Pages. It's typically a county-level organization, and they're often a wealth of information for agencies, for assisted living facilities, nursing homes, all types of county-level programs and state programs. So those are just a few to name for them.
And obviously it's important for people to reach out. First of all, talk within the family, understand what could occur, what may be necessary. Don't wait for the last minute. Don't wait for a crisis situation. That is the worst time to be making big decisions.
It's very important to stay balanced as a family caregiver. And how you can do that is by venting your feelings, as you just said, to talk amongst yourselves about the situation, perhaps to join a support group in your local area. Engage in some leisure activities because, as we said earlier, you have to protect your own health, and you can't forget about that because it's very easily to be consumed in the care that you may be providing. So that's all part of, again, protecting your health and reaching out. And very important to manage your stress with this.
Mm-hmm. As you say, protecting your own health. If you're not healthy, this is just overwhelming you. You're not going to do anybody any good, are you?
Not at all.
Simple as that.
Simple.
If, again, someone would like more information from your organization?
Well, my organization, again, is located in New Jersey, and we service all of northern and central New Jersey counties. That's Expert Home Care. And we have a website as well, www.experthomecare.com. We have a toll-free number, 1-800-848-2336. Call or look that up if you need some help. I can definitely steer you in any direction. Whether or not I can help you with a caregiver, I'd be more than happy to share my knowledge and steer you in a proper direction.
And obviously, if anybody has questions, there is no question that is stupid.
Absolutely not. We're open to questions, and any good agency worth their salt should lead anybody by the hand and answer any question and spend the time with them. It's important to listen, and especially during this month where nationally family caregivers are being observed.
There will be a link to Expert Home Care on the website of our radio station. I invite all listeners to check there under Jack Cares. I thank you very much for taking time out to be with us. Please come back in the future.
Thank you, Al. Enjoyed it.
Our guest, Frank Esposito, Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Expert Care in New Jersey and a member of the National Private Duty Association. Have a nice Sunday. I'm Al Meredith.